You heard how it went down. Now time to sum it all up. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
He's going to dribble it before he hands it off to Wigginton. Wigginton right back to Thanasis, who takes flight with a big two-hand slam.
Recap everything you need to know about this game right now.
As the final horn sounds, we are done with the regular season here in 2022. On to the playoffs.
Now here's your host, your analyst, and your MC for the evening.
Make some noise!
Justin Garcia.
Yeah!
All right, no way around it. This was a bad loss for the Bucks, who appeared to just run out of gas in the second half of this game, and specifically Giannis appeared to be the player really most fatigued here, and a lot to get to with Giannis and what we've seen from him in the last week. I know everybody's going to pay attention to the free throw numbers, and rightfully so, as those continue to be an issue for him this season. But I think the larger takeaway is Giannis needs his help. You got Drew Holiday back tonight. He didn't play until the second quarter and came off the bench. You got Grayson Allen back tonight. But Marjon Beauchamp, and look, as great as Marjon Beauchamp has looked early into his career, we cautioned there is going to be bad as well. He's a young guy. He's a rookie. He's still very raw. There's going to be ups and downs. And you saw Marjon Beauchamp just under 15 minutes tonight, only 3 minutes in the second half, none in the fourth quarter. Defense became an issue, and offense has been an issue all season long, and we did caution this. The offense was going to be an issue, regardless of having Giannis and Drew Holiday, regardless of how good Brook Lopez has been on the offensive end. Bobby Portis, by the way, leading the league in double doubles. All of that aside, the offense is going to be an issue until this team is healthy, until you get one of your best half-court offensive players back in Chris Middleton. The offense is going to be a work in progress, and it's going to look very similar to what we saw in that playoff series against the Boston Celtics, and that's exactly what it's been here early on in this season. That offense, the defense has been great. The offense has been mediocre to bad, and that trend continued, unfortunately, once again tonight as the Bucks lose in Philadelphia. I'm not one for hyperbole, and this is a regular season game. It's one of 82. I understand it's November, but look, November counts the same as February and March and April. This was a bad loss for the Bucks, and this was their worst loss of the very young season here. You're still 11-4. You're still in second place in the Eastern Conference. You've still banked a handful of wins here, despite being shorthanded, and I don't know that you can complain when you won Wednesday as shorthanded as you were against a good Cavaliers team to now let the 76ers do the same thing to you tonight. But a disappointing loss nonetheless. Had a chance to keep pace with the Boston Celtics, get some time off. And look, I know we have been saying this for the last week, 2 weeks. It certainly does feel like Monday will be the day. You're starting to become Chicken Little here and the boy who cried wolf, but Monday, just believe me, it feels like Monday is going to be the day at least one of those guys comes back, being Pat Connaughton and or Chris Middleton. So it's starting to trend towards that, but it's got to come pretty soon because Giannis is just absolutely gassed, and we got some numbers to back that up. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight, whether you're listening on WTMJ or ESPN Milwaukee. That's the number to join us on Bucks Talk. We saw a nice couple of minute stretches here from Jordan Wara off the bench. It makes things very interesting as we hand out our sub of the game a little bit later on in the show with Drew Holiday coming off the bench. But Jordan Wara continuing to do some of those little things that we keep preaching and talking about. The offense is always going to be there. And you just needed more of that in the second half. This was a rarity. The shots were falling in the opening quarter. That's not a rarity for this team. They were not falling in the third. They've been a very good first and third quarter team. And halftime just turned this game completely around. The absence of Tyrese Maxey. You would have thought would send the Bucks to a relatively comfortable victory, having to just worry about Joel Embiid. Saw some of those adjustments with a lot of early double teams on Embiid in the second half, but the Bucks just could not find their offense, and they lose in Philadelphia. Despite getting Drew Holiday and Grayson Allen back, and despite Philadelphia not having James Harden, and for the final 24 minutes not having Tyrese Maxey. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. The Bucks lose a disappointing one against the 76ers. Big homestand coming up. We'll preview that a little bit later on in the show as well, but when we return, we've tiptoed around it, but where this game really turned, we'll get to the turning point of the game after this on Bucks Talk. All right, a 110-102 final score in Philadelphia. The 76ers beat the Bucks tonight on a night where Giannis certainly looked as though he could use quite a bit of help. He's starting to show a little bit of signs of fatigue. A lot is going to be made, and rightfully so. A lot is going to be made of the free throw struggles that he is really starting to go through in recent games and weeks here. And the overall free throw percentage for Giannis it's not great. But as we heard from Dave Kane afterwards on the network post game, as soon as the game ended, Giannis was out there at the free throw line. We've seen him do that a lot in games played in Milwaukee, but for a game where this was your only road game, and for those that don't know, any getaway day where it's your last day on the road or your only day on the road, it is basically a beeline to the shower and plane to get back home, get to your own bed, get that rest, and be back in your own home city. So Giannis still out there in Philly. Who knows? Maybe he's out there as we speak working on his free throws. But this one goes to Joel Embiid. And we said on the pregame show, we've seen some pretty classic battles between Embiid and Giannis. I think the biggest one that comes to mind in terms of both guys really on one was the St. Patrick's Day game in, I believe, 2019, where both Giannis and Joel Embiid scored 50 points. You had the road game in Philly a couple of years ago where Giannis ices the game and sits down at midcourt. And, you know, here's the other thing. We've talked about Giannis maybe struggling a little bit offensively and didn't have a great offensive game tonight. 25 points, 14 rebounds, and 4 assists despite the struggles. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let us head out to the phone lines. First caller of the night. Let's talk with Grant on a cell phone. You're up first on the show.
Hey, Justin. I appreciate you taking my call. Love the show. I agree with you. This probably is their worst loss of the season. Not that it's a huge sample, but it's hard to win in this league. You know, we saw that on Wednesday night. I didn't think the Bucks would be in that game. They probably didn't deserve to be in that game, and the Sixers probably didn't deserve to win tonight, but that's what you get. I wanted to talk and get your opinion on what Giannis did in the second half, because he kept jacking up a lot of shots, and I was going back and forth between radio and TV, and Doris Burke, you know, like I think a lot of national announcers will say with Giannis, like they were just, like they were bamboozled that he keeps putting up some of these shots, especially some of the deeper jumpers with, you know, 17, 16 seconds left on the shot clock. And I'm torn when that happens because I feel like Giannis's greatest strength is his greatest weakness too, in that he takes shots because he knows that they're the right shots. He's not afraid to put up a shot when it's open, even though it might not go in. And that's great because it's good process, right? And that's what you want. But also when they're not going in, I feel like it can be detrimental. So I wanted to get your take on Giannis and kind of that stubbornness and whether it's a good or a bad thing and what it means for the team.
Well, I think you got to be careful about using process, especially when they play the 76ers. But tonight, I think Giannis was just tired. And I think that was a lot of the second half shots and the reason for those shots, that a lot of them, he never really had a rhythm going tonight. So it's not as though they were rhythm jumpers. But for the last 10 days, he just hasn't had the touch on that jump shot. And it was there briefly in the opening quarter. But it's been gone for about 2 weeks now, going on it. And that's, look, despite not having that touch and clearly looking off and or tired offensively, he's still putting up 25 points. But to me, the biggest thing is he needs help at this point, that we all kind of thought it would be maybe the first couple weeks of the regular season that Chris Middleton would be out maybe a little bit longer. We thought Pat Connaughton was going to be 3 weeks. We thought Pat Connaughton was going to play on Wednesday, and then all of a sudden he was upgraded from questionable to probable and then downgraded to out. And Bud told us on Wednesday it was more than likely a case of we probably should have never said this was 3 weeks to begin with, but it still is a little perplexing how we can go from questionable to probable to out. But I think this is a team that's just kind of hit the wall, that you know, this half-court offense was, to put it mildly, a disaster in the series against the Celtics. And when you look at this iteration of the team, not a whole lot has changed. I know the offense is going to be easier to come by in a regular season versus playoff series against a great defense, but I don't know that we should have expected anything different with the group of players on the floor. And I think this is a team that's kind of, I'm not going to say starting to run out of gas, but they're starting to reach the point where it's you keep looking over your shoulder like, okay, we've kind of done our part here. When are the rest of the guys going to join us? And to me, Giannis is the biggest guy that you would look at with that, that it just looks like he's gotten tired in these last couple of games and really the last 10 or so days. I mean, his usage rate right now is just under 39%, which is right up there with Trae Young and Ja Morant for the second highest in the league behind Luka. And it is far and away the largest, highest usage rate he's had in his career. Like you just cannot have him when you're a team that's this good. The Bucks aren't constructed like the Mavs or the Atlanta Hawks. Like you need more than Giannis. And right now, because of the injuries, they just haven't had it.
Well, and Doris Burke was complaining about some of these shots that Giannis is taking. I'm like, well, yeah, it's not ideal, but also, would you rather have Javon Carter shooting runners from the elbow, or would you rather have like Grayson Allen chucking up bricks? Like, I don't really know what their options are offensively right now. They're not great, especially Drew just didn't seem to have it tonight. And Giannis is probably even more tired tonight because of that disgusting act from Joel Embiid early in this game. And that's probably why he's struggling from the free throw line. He's probably sore. He's probably trying to catch his breath.
Well, look, first of all, how is that not a flagrant two?
I Doris Burke was beside herself. Again, keep quoting Doris Burke. But like she was like, even before they made the call, she's like, I don't see how this isn't a flagrant two. And it had to be just a situation where the refs are like, we can't throw Embiid out of this game. Like, we're in Philly. Maxie's already out. There's no Harden. Like, could it just be that simple? Like, we're not naive. We're not stupid. That has to be a thing, right? Like, they couldn't just throw Embiid out. That had to be why.
Well, I mean, it was a non-basketball play. And he extends the arm and the elbow as if he's giving him, you know, a forearm shiver. I don't understand how it wasn't a flagrant two. In real time, when you saw it, you thought it was just an awkward play. And then when you saw the replay more, you thought, how is this not a flagrant two? And how is he not ejected? But yeah, look, weird things always tend to happen when these two teams play. I mean, look, we talked about this being disappointing that they lost tonight. I think Philadelphia is making that case for opening night, or the Bucks opening night, that was a game you could make a strong case. Yeah, the Bucks really shouldn't have won this game. So in that sense, we talked about earlier this week winning against Cleveland, maybe balancing it out with this. The two matchups with Philly have been balanced out because the Bucks probably shouldn't have won their opener. 76ers should not have won a game against the Bucks with no Harden and no Maxey for 24 minutes.
Oh, and George Niang gets hot. I mean, what are you supposed to do? What is the team to do, I suppose? I don't know. Like I said, it's hard to win in this league any given Wednesday, any given Friday, but I don't know. It just felt like once the offense shut off in the third quarter, that was one of the most painful third quarters I've ever watched. And I was just kind of just wanting the game to be over at that point. It felt like a rerun of what I watched with the Packers on Thursday. I was like, this is just ugly and slow. And hey, look, I give credit to Giannis for going to the free throw line because it's the right thing to do. You're racking up fouls on the other team. You're putting your team in a good spot. Like, I give him all the credit in the world, but it was definitely ugly and a game that the Bucks surely would wish they had.
Disappointing loss, no doubt. And look, small sample size theater, but easily the worst loss of the season thus far. Safe travels, Grant. We'll check in with you again later.
Thanks, Justin. I love the show. See you.
855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk, a disappointing loss in Philadelphia. Let's squeeze in one more call before we take a break here. Justin, you're up next on the show.
Hey, man, great show. I listen every day down here in North Carolina. Your other caller hit a lot of great points on it. I was really hoping, what's the guy's name?
Dick from Port Washington, our pal, yeah.
Yeah, the Jordan Nwora basher, because Jordan's been playing. He's been playing good ball, so you got to keep it 100, Dick. You got to call in when he does well, not just call in when he screws up. This is a bad loss, and this loss is primarily. I hate to blame the referees, but like you guys just mentioned before, that is a blatant flagrant 2. Embiid should have been ejected. If you do that at any Milwaukee County public park when the weather is warm, there's a brawl breaking out on a play like that. That is not acceptable. It's not a basketball play. It's borderline dirty in the NFL. And the other thing that I wanted to comment on, Justin, was I watch a lot of NBA basketball, and I never really paid attention to how much Joel Embiid flops around.
Oh, yeah.
To be 7 feet one, 285 pounds, and you fall like a feather every time. And that's why at the end of the game, he tried to apologize to Giannis. You saw Giannis wasn't having it, and he went to talk to Portis. So I feel sorry for Portland, Cleveland, and Chicago next week because you pissed Giannis off. And that's not a guy you really want to have to play with a chip on his shoulder. I heard on your post game he was shooting free throws after the game. I just love it. I love the work ethic, and I really think the Bucks are going to come out with a vengeance. And you're not going to win them all anyways, but you just – like, that's just type of stuff that Embiid did, man. There's no place in the NBA at all for that type of garbage.
I have never seen a seven-footer on the floor as much as Joel Embiid is on the floor. And, I mean, this is going to be the ultimate NBA move as well, where at some point tomorrow we see – the communication come out from the league or the press release letting us know that Joel Embiid's flagrant foul was upgraded to a flagrant 2. Like, thanks. Thanks for letting us know 23 hours later.
Right. Right. No, absolutely. And the last thing I'll tell you, man, I really like the team. I love what they're doing. I love how we're building. The funniest part of the flagrant foul, and they're going to upgrade it like you said, Giannis didn't fall, but Embiid did. I mean, just make it make sense, Justin. But keep up the good work. Like I said, I listen pregame, postgame. I listen to you guys on the radio. You guys do a phenomenal job, and I'm just really excited about the Bucks season.
Before, are you team Jordan Nwora?
Yeah. Hey, man. So this is what I feel about Jordan, right? I feel it at times we need Jordan in a game like this.
You need him tonight.
Team Jordan Nwora game.
Yeah.
Right. You know, some of his shots, but I did see in Dick was right. Bobby gave him a look.
Oh, yeah. We've seen it a couple times.
It was a few games ago. Right. Now you see him looking for Bobby in the post more, and he's just playing more team ball. And I really like that play in the first half where Bobby reposted and swung to the wing and hit that 3 on the assist from Jordan. Like, I think Jordan can be a good asset off our bench. I know we're probably going to trade him. I think you need a guy like that during an 82-game season when Giannis needs rest nights, when guys get hurt. And he's gaining experience. So in the playoffs, if a Middleton or someone goes down, I think he's a guy we should be able to count on after 3 years of playing in Bud's system, right?
I don't disagree. And look, I think we're aligned here. I've always maintained I'm not trying to cape for Jordan Nwora and make it sound as though Jordan Nwora is the sixth man of the year and why isn't he getting these opportunities. All I'm pointing out is when you see some growth from Jordan Nwora, it's worth mentioning. And he has been a different player defensively. Now, look, he's not – and I think Jordan Nwora would say as much as well. He's never going to be – the defensive player we think Marjon Beauchamp is going to be. He's certainly never going to be a defensive player in the category of Drew Holiday, but it's the little things and the miscues and the mistakes that you got to clean up if you're going to stay on the floor. And for the most part, there was a 2 or 3 game stretch where there was a little bit of him reverting, but for the most part, he's done that. And that's exactly what you asked of him coming into this season.
Absolutely. And Jamal Crawford may, and I'm not saying he's as good as Jamal Crawford, so please, no one come at me for this, but Jamal Crawford made his career as being a walking bucket.
Right.
Sometimes you need a bucket off the bench, and I think Jordan Nwora can be that for us. Is he, like you said, defensive player of the year, sixth man of the year? Maybe not, but if he can get you 8 to 10 during a stretch when Grayson's off and stuff like that, I think he's a good asset on this team. I really do, man, but I understand when Dick gets on him because he does make some pretty bonehead plays at times, but he's young. That's what happens with young guys.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thanks for the call, Justin. And look, Jordan Nwora, it's just you're not expecting him to be it's going to sound like a knock, and I don't intend it to be. You're not expecting him to be a good defensive player. It's to the point of, look, just don't make mistakes. And don't kill us when you're out there. As long as you can do that, we can justify giving you more and more minutes. And I think, by and large, we've seen a lot of that this year. He has cut down on those miscues. He seems more assignment sure. I mean, he's giving the effort defensively. And those were all the things that we had talked about, not just in the offseason, last year. He talked about it quite a bit last year. Look, I'll know I'm making an impact and everything I'm working on is working when I'm staying on the floor, even when this team is healthy. Because for 2+ years now, we've seen Jordan Nwora used in those rest games and getting the opportunities when this team is injured. But he wants to be a part of this team going forward in, let's hope, next week. But whenever Chris is back and Pat is back and Joe Ingles is worked into the mix, easier said than done because of all that depth at the same spot he plays. But if Jordan Nwora, as long as he can be that guy that's not a liability, Wednesday against Cleveland, you saw the value. And for a brief moment tonight, you saw it as well. I mean, he had a big shot at the time to put the Bucks back in front when no one else was finding their offense. And that's the type of thing that you need from Jordan. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. When we return, we will get to the turning point of the game. We've got the highlights to get to as well. And as I mentioned, a 4-game homestand. This is a big homestand because you have a nice mixture of either good or really good opponents, one of them a surprise, and you have what I expect to be a pretty rabid atmosphere on Wednesday night. It's always been like that the last few years. When the Chicago Bulls come to town, you get the Bulls in Milwaukee. Your first matchup with the Bulls this season comes the night before Thanksgiving. It's a big homestand. We'll preview that as well on Bucks Talk. Disappointing loss in Philly as the Bucks fall to the 76ers. And again, no James Harden. You knew that would be the case. But you didn't know Philly would be without Tyrese Maxey for the final 24 minutes. And that really seemed to ignite them. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight. Well, you heard somebody put out the bat signal for him earlier, and he has answered. Our pal Dick in Port Washington, you're up on the show.
Hey, how you doing here? He calls from North Carolina. He seems like a very intelligent a caller, so he's got to be a Duke fan. That's all I'm going to say about that. But I just want to clarify my, I don't know if it's issues or whatever. I just look at Marshawn and I look at him. The other night in the interviews after the game, Jordan's talking like, man, I've really arrived and everything is going great, okay? I still don't see that. You listen to Marshawn, you say, yeah, I'm still making a lot of mistakes. There's humbleness. And I think Giannis pointed this out. Marshawn has humbleness. And he's going to stay that way because Giannis is going to make him. I've never heard that word used with Jordan Nwora. I think that's his problem, you know? And one thing I'll say is that you say this is the worst loss of the year. Number one, there hasn't been that many games we've lost. I'm still disappointed we lost in San Antonio. I think that game, even though we lost by more points and stuff, we shouldn't have lost to them.
Are you more disappointed with that Spurs loss than this one?
Well, I guess because of the number of points we scored, we lost by what, 15, 18 there. We didn't play well. I think tonight, Philly is a good team. Is a good team, even with the injuries they had. I mean, Joel, he couldn't miss from outside.
No, he's
what was the 3-point shooting? What was the team's 3-point shooting?
How many did they make, or what was the percentage?
Philly, yeah, no, percentage-wise.
Yeah, they were 46%. I mean, they made 13, and the Bucks made 12. Bucks were 12 of 36, okay. So low 30s.
Yeah, okay. I think that's the difference. I do think our guy, he missed a couple of bunnies up at the rim.
He missed the one where I think he heard the footsteps from Embiid.
Yeah. Okay, and I guess at this stage of his career versus the Rook, I understand when the Rook hears footsteps behind him. I don't get it with Jordan. You know, I'm not against him. Every time he's asked, I'm rooting like hell that he scores.
Yeah,
but I reliability wise, you know, Marshawn's going to keep playing when we get the other guys back. I don't think Jordan will be.
No, I don't disagree with that. And, I mean, it also is worth pointing out, Marjan didn't play a whole lot tonight. He played just under 15 minutes, and I don't think he played at all in the fourth quarter, and I think it was around 2 or 3 minutes he played in the third quarter. So it was Jordan that
I think matchups weren't great. And, you know, another thing I just thought of, too, is that Drew, he wasn't the Drew that
no.
we normally
and,
see. I
mean, and we see this a
rusty.
Lot with him, too.
It's
where,
rusty.
Yeah.
It's rusty. It's
yeah.
rusty. And, I discussed this with my son after the game. You know, if we're both teams are healthy, this is going to be a 4-1 or 4-2 series against these guys. It's still Boston and us.
Yeah.
Nobody else.
Embiid is really what makes this team. I mean, the Bucks didn't take advantage of it in the first matchup between these two, but with Harden and Maxey, you're sacrificing a lot of defense for the offense there. And this team is, I know when they're healthy, they're a good team. This team that we saw tonight in Philly is not a good team when they don't have – the bench is not good. And they don't have enough right now around Joel Embiid, and especially when there's no Harden and Maxey. And look, yeah, we're jumping to conclusions way too early here with it being the midpoint of November, and I know it's just 15 games that have been played. I mean, this is a bad loss. This is your worst loss of the season to lose to a team like this because look, in the Spurs game, you didn't have Giannis, you didn't have Drew, you still didn't have Chris Middleton, and that was one you kind of wrote off. You played bad. And you kept Philadelphia in the game, even despite the fact that not only did they come in shorthanded, it got even worse as the game went on. Philly wasn't even playing good and shorthanded, and you let them win this game.
Right. And you know, I still think Joel, for some reason, all of a sudden, I don't know if it's psychosomatic or what, all of a sudden, he's got a headache in the middle of the game, and he disappears. He doesn't have Giannis's drive, and if he did, I think he could be. But he's an outside shooter. But man, you pound him a little bit, I think he fades. That's just my opinion. I mean, there's always I got a headache. I can't play. You know, I mean, during the season, you see that every year with him. There's a difference between his attitude and Giannis's attitude, and a lot of other players in the league. He fades when it's tough. Giannis gets better when it gets tougher.
Yeah, there's no disputing that. And I'll say this too, Dick. I mean, Jordan's three was pretty big that put the Bucks back in front when it was really starting to seem like, man, you're really going to lose to this version of this team. That was a big three, but you can't help but wonder, does this start to look a little different if he makes that that layup under the basket where you got the turnover. I think it was Embiid that turned it over too, and then Jordan wore a little bit of a contest from Embiid, but still, if that goes in, you're up three. I know that's not a multiple possession lead, but you're at least starting to build the lead with, what, 7 or 8 minutes left, I think there was? Is that something you build on if that shot goes through?
Yeah, I don't blame Jordan for the misses he made or whatever. I attributed this loss to that Drew was rusty.
Yeah, yeah.
Period.
Well, and look, here's the other thing is, I know I mentioned I was stunned to see this revelation, but Bobby Portis is the NBA's leader in double-doubles right now with 10. I don't think Bobby has been all that effective or really he's been not that great the last 2 weeks or so. Like, you've needed more from Bobby Portis. Some of the spurts we saw from him last year where he was a guy that could score in the 20s, you know, with no Chris and with no Drew for the last week plus, and especially a night like tonight where Drew was rusty. And we've seen this a lot with Drew, that it takes him a little bit, a couple of games to get going offensively. You've just needed more from Bobby Portis. He's been fine,
yeah.
But you've needed him to be good.
Yeah. You know, what my wife said, you know, what Bobby Portis needs, it should be the homeroom teacher who, with his attitude, he'd be sitting in the back of the room with no books, no magazines, nothing. He'd just be sitting there. And I think that's true for some of the stuff. His desire to win is so strong. His work ethic is so strong. But he kind of hurt us tonight with some of his antics tonight.
Well, I'll say,
I love the guy.
Yeah, and I'll say this to defend him. The technical foul, that is not a tech. It's the same thing that Jason Tatum was called for the other night, where you're not criticizing the official and has nothing to do with the call. It was Bobby Portis, and I think he got this Wednesday against the Cavs too, upset with himself. Yep. It's the exact same thing that happened to Jason Tatum on Tuesday, I think. That's taken it a little far.
Yeah, that's what I said to her, but I lost that argument.
Well, hopefully next time we talk, Dick, there's better things to discuss. And look, the Bucks have been a really good home team. You got four home games coming up.
Yeah, we're fine. We're still great. I have no worries. This is so much better than last year, because last year, if you play back my calls, I was starting to just like lose it. We're doing great. I'm really happy with the team and the depth. My God, there's no other team in the NBA has our depth when we're all healthy.
No, it's clear the Bucks and the Celtics are on a different level from every other team, not even in the East. I think every other team in the league right now. And you started 9-0 without one very big piece and a couple of bench pieces that are going to be big for this team down the stretch. So to even be at 11-4, I mean, it could be much worse. And as you mentioned, look back to last season when the injuries started to pile up.
Yeah. And can I just ask you one quick question not related to the Bucks? What's going on in Golden State? I cannot figure this thing out at all.
Yeah, it is.
What do you think?
Well, look, I think it's a couple of things. You've seen Klay Thompson just doesn't seem to be the same guy anymore. And I know he had kind of responded to Charles Barkley and something he said on Inside the NBA. But look, it's hard not to imagine him taking a step backward with the two major injuries he suffered in his age. But, I mean, Klay Thompson, one of the numbers that will blow your mind, he's averaging 15 points a game, and he's taking 15 shots a game. He is no longer a splash brother. Steph Curry's been great, but Klay hasn't been that guy this year. Draymond Green hasn't really been that guy this year. Jordan Poole is still very gifted offensively, but we saw the Celtics take advantage of him defensively. They're still searching for what those lineups are going to be, and their bench has been a big issue. I mean, I think as much as I liked him, I think anybody in Milwaukee that watched the team for the last few years could have told you this, but Dante DiVincenzo's already missed a lot of time for the Warriors, and the young guys just aren't ready, especially James Wiseman.
And he's in the G League.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they've had to. They have no choice.
I don't get. I mean, there's something. I mean, we are so fortunate in Milwaukee to have the coaching staff, the ownership, the GM. we're not going to face these troubles. Not like, I mean, I don't get it. I just don't understand it. And I'm taking up too much of your time. Thanks for the call.
All right, Dick, we'll see you later. Yep. 110-102, the final score. The Bucks lose to the 76ers in Philadelphia. So where did it all go wrong, the turning point of tonight's game?
The moment it all turned around, for better or worse, this is the turning point of the game.
Well, as hard as it is to really believe, the turning point of tonight's game was an injury for the 76ers. Tyrese Maxey goes down, and that, for whatever reason, just propelled the 76ers. This was a 5-point Bucks lead when Tyrese Maxey left the game. Bucks were up 6. He was driving to the lane, stepped on Javon Carter's foot. He rolled his ankle, and you could see immediately it was bad. He was having to walk up the stanchion or underneath the stanchion and walk into the stands to try and walk it off. Went to the free throw line, and it would prove to be a moot point, but went to the free throw line because if you brought in a sub to shoot the free throws, he could not return. Missed the first, hit the second, and immediately you saw Shake Milton pick up a foul just to get Tyrese Maxey out of the game. So going into halftime, you're up 7. And you think, I don't know if Tyrese Maxey's going to return. They already don't have James Harden. We just talked about this bench with Dick. And I mean, look, you take Maxey out of the mix. It's De'Anthony Melton. It's Daniel House. It's Shake Milton. It's George Niang. Matisse Thybulle and Montrezl Harrell each got on the floor tonight. Those are guys that have been lost in the rotation for Doc Rivers. This should have been an easy win for the Bucks, but that injury just seemed to galvanize the 76ers, and they were the team that was going after the loose balls. They were the team that seemed to be playing the hardest of the two. They were the scrappy bunch, and the Bucks just were not tonight. Tyrese Maxey leaving with an injury, the turning point in tonight's game. 855-616-1620, the number to join us on Bucks Talk. When we return, we will reveal the sub of the game. And there's another one where it's a tough call. Maybe an unexpected player takes it home tonight, or maybe it's our pal Jordan Wara. We'll reveal the sub of the game and get to the highlights after this on Bucks Talk. 110-102 final in Philly. The 76ers, the shorthanded Sixers. The alliteration segment here. Final in Philly, shorthanded Sixers. Beat the Bucks. Had a big night from Joel Embiid. 32 points, 11 boards, 8 assists, 3 blocks, a steal, and a big start to the game from Tyrese Maxey, who was 9 of 12 from the floor, 24 points in 21 minutes, but then left with that ankle issue. So that is something to keep an eye on for Philly. We know James Harden is going to be out a month. We're a week, 10 days into that. It's not going to be until early to mid-December that Harden is back, so that's going to be another 10 or so games. We saw Jrue Holiday miss the last 10 or so days, almost 2 weeks. We saw LaMelo Ball miss more than that for a similar issue at the end of the preseason. Especially early in the season, you just don't mess around with ankles. If Tyrese Maxey is going to miss even a week, 2 weeks, it is going to be interesting to see where Philadelphia is going to get a lot of the offense from outside of Embiid and who is going to handle the ball for this team. So not our concern. It's not Sixers talk, but Philly, look, we talked about the Bucks. Hey, it's a disappointing loss, but you're still 11-4. You haven't been healthy. At least you're 11-4. I mean, Philly is still lingering around 500. They got back above 500 with the win tonight at 8-7. But that is something to keep an eye on, the status of Tyrese Maxey. Celtics won earlier tonight, and Boston is now, and that was in New Orleans too, an impressive win, 13-3. Best offense in the league. Defense maybe taking a bit of a step back, but They still don't have the Time Lord out there. And Joe Mazzulla, for all the questions, nobody's questioning Joe Mazzulla now. 9-game win streak for the Celtics. They're 13-3. And then you got the Bucks a game and a half back of them. The Hawks continue to linger at 9-6. The Cavs are 9-6. The Pacers are 8-6. And then the teams on the outside, the Miami Heat lost tonight. They're 7-9. Brooklyn Nets and Celtics, or Brooklyn Nets and Sixers, are 10-9 right now in the East, and the Washington Wizards are 9-7. So it is still very early, and it is still very topsy-turvy. But speaking of that, one surprise to pass along. We mentioned Blazers right now are 10-5. Pending the results of the Phoenix Suns game tonight, the Portland Trail Blazers, and pending results of their next matchup tomorrow, the Portland Trail Blazers are likely to come into Milwaukee on Monday in first place in the Western Conference. Well, we did get a little ahead of ourselves. The Suns lost, so they're 9-6. They lost to the Utah Jazz, who are 11-6 to open up the season, and they play the Blazers on Saturday. The battle for first place in the Western Conference, and we're nearly in December. It's early, but it's not that early. And the Blazers and Jazz are facing off for first place in the West. So two of the biggest surprises so far in the league have been in the Western Conference. Speaking of surprises, will we have a surprise and an unconventional player for the sub of the game? Time to reveal who the best from the bench was for the Bucks tonight.
The bench mob was hungry, and someone ate. Who was it? Tonight's sub of the game is...
All right, there are two options here, and it looked like we may have more than that early in the game. George Hill got off to a fast start, scored 7 points in the first half, finished with 7 points. We saw Serge Ibaka, a Serge sighting, to continue the alliteration show early in this one. Had one field goal and a nice find from Drew Holiday. Finished with 2 points and nothing else. Grayson Allen scored 7 points. Missed a big three-pointer late that would have helped potentially swing this game. But there are really two options for our sub of the game. We told you before the game, Drew Holiday likely to play. Bucks expect him to play. And then the game started and you saw, this is the same starting lineup we've seen last couple of games, or at least against the Cavs. No Drew. Bobby's in there. Marjan's in there. And you started to wonder, okay, is Drew not going to play? Like, we just went through this with Pat. Is Drew not going to play too? Didn't see him at all in the first quarter. Drew Holiday starts the second quarter, coming off the bench, giving him eligibility for sub of the game. The other strong contender. Spent a lot of time talking about him this season. And earlier on the show tonight, our guy Jordan Wara, 8 points, 2 of 3 on threes, 3 of 6 from the field, 2 boards, 2 assists, a block. Drew Holiday finished with 10 points, 4 assists, 3 rebounds. He missed all 4 of his 3s. He was 5 of 12 from the field and just looked very rusty. It was good to have him back. But the more impactful player off the bench, who hit a big shot to put the Bucks back in front, and as we lamented, could have extended that lead had he not missed under the basket. But our sub of the game, it's got to be up there for the team lead. Our sub of the game tonight is none other than Buffalo's own. Brought a snowstorm of his own tonight. Jordan Wara, tonight's sub of the game. 110-102 final in Philly. The Bucks fall to the 76ers. You got 4 games coming up at Fiserv Forum next week. So a chance... Game 1 against those Portland Trailblazers will be second best in the East versus best in the West. You got the Chicago Bulls, who we mentioned, lost again tonight and are not faring well so far this season at 6-10. But those have become appointment events when the Bulls come to Milwaukee in this new building. And to have it the night before Thanksgiving... You got everybody back in town, everybody back in Chicago, everybody back in Milwaukee. it's going to be an atmosphere for that game. And then Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, you get the Cavaliers, round two with the Cavs, who got Jared Allen back tonight. Hopefully you've got at least Pat and Drew and Grayson back for this matchup. That will be a nice matchup. Sunday, Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks. It's a week full of big matchups, and you wrap up the month on the road in New York at Madison Square Garden against the Knicks. So a big week ahead for the Bucks. You're 11-4. You got five games left in the month. Even if you go 3-2, you're 14-5. 14-6, I beg your pardon, going into December. To not have, and at this point I think it's safe to assume, you probably won't have Chris Middleton in November. I hope I'm wrong, but just the way we've seen injuries treated with this team, with Pat Connaughton, who we thought would be back first week in November, and here we are, I think it's safe to assume you won't see Chris in November. If you go into December at 14-6, knowing Chris Middleton didn't play at all, Pat Connaughton missed most of that time. Drew Holiday missed some of that time. Giannis missed three of those games. Grayson Allen missed some of that time. It is a far cry from where this team was a season ago, when Brooke Lopez being out just seemed to derail the first 3 months of the season. 855-616-1620. Still time to join us here on Bucks Talk. When we return, we will let you know exactly how we got to this 110-102 final score. The highlights come your way next on Bucks Talk.
The oohs, the ahs, and everything that comes with it. Here are tonight's highlights. Here's Justin Garcia.
All right, disappointing result in Philly, where the Bucks fall to the 76ers, 110-102. Well, this wasn't disappointing from the start, as the Bucks' offense was certainly there in the opening quarter.
Going the other direction now. Giannis moves it into the front court. He's going to uncork a three at the top of the circle, and he drains it. Nobody ever said Giannis doesn't get up for these matchups. He does. That much is evident. And he is showing it already in this contest to the tune of 8 points.
Pull-up three-pointer there by Giannis in the early going. Eight of the first 15 points came off the hands of Giannis, spotting the Bucks an early three-point lead. Their defense would start to take over in this game in that opening quarter as well. No surprise coming off the hands of Javon Carter. The big surprise, we thought we'd see a Carter to Giannis throwdown. Instead, it was a Javon Carter throw in.
Here's a turnover as it's going to be taken away by Carter going the other way. He lobs up top, and he hits the shot on a pass that was intended for Giannis, but it went down. Are you kidding me?
Now, they initially called it a two. I think everybody watching the game questioned, how is that a two? Eventually overturned and ruled a three-pointer, but Javon Carter with an unconventional basket there, putting the Bucks in front eventually by six. The lead would be five later in that opening quarter when Bobby Portis, mentioned the Bucks were hot in that opening quarter, Bobby Portis found the bottom of the net.
Here's Portis right of the lane. Sends out top. Jordan Wara has it there around the Giannis screen. Stops. Feeds it. Right wing. Three-pointer. Bobby Portis sticks another for the Bucks. So how about Milwaukee early in this game continuing their hot hand from a game ago at 4 of 6 to begin this one?
It wasn't just offense in that opening quarter there. Brooke Lopez, the NBA's leading shot blocker, challenged by Joel Embiid a handful of times in this game. And Brooke Lopez was the winner the majority of the time.
Beat attacks on him, gets blocked once by Lopez, and then blocked a second time for good measure. The ball goes to Allen. He's going the other direction now for Milwaukee.
Back-to-back blocks on Embiid from Lopez. Bucks in control in the opening 12 minutes, taking a 34-24 lead into the second quarter. That lead would stay beyond double figures. We mentioned Serge Ibaka getting one basket. Well, it came here on a nice feed from Drew Holiday.
Here's Holiday, the other direction for Milwaukee. Driving in on Maxey, trying to post him up. Now feeds behind the double team down to Ibaka, who lays it in softly up close. So Holiday sucks in the defense and sets the table for Ibaka to put the Bucks back ahead by 11.
11-point lead would not last as the 76ers would start to peel off a run of their own. 9-2, slicing into that margin and making things uncomfortable for Grayson Allen. Put an end to that run.
Carter feeds it to the left wing. As Allen handed it off to Portis, he gets it back and deposits a three-pointer from the left side, and Milwaukee answers with a long one of their own. The Bucks, 8 of 13 from long range. I mean, I'm telling you, it's raining threes here tonight in Philly, and Maxey now going to lose the ball off of his foot.
Yeah, the threes for both teams were raining in those first 24 minutes, but one area where the Bucks have a massive advantage regardless of the opponent is on the glass, and nothing illustrated that more than this possession in the second quarter where the Bucks had 3 second chance opportunities.
Now to Lopez. Lopez late in the shot clock, bounces off the back iron, no good, but Portis gets the rebound. He'll feed back out to Wara. Wara, a head fake, sends out top. Lopez from three, cannot hit, but another offensive board from Allen. Fans will let him hear about it. The ball is blocked away from Allen from behind, but right to Portis. And now with 8 to shoot, Portis flips it up and in. So the Bucks staying with it. Second, third, and even fourth chances if you count the block from behind. And the Bucks get points to put themselves back ahead by double digits with 3:25 to go now in the second quarter.
That's, again, when things were going great for the Bucks. 3 second chance opportunities. Bobby Portis finally puts the ball through the net. And it's 54-44, but the Sixers would go on yet another run, making this a 5-point game when just before halftime, Jrue Holiday and Giannis teamed up to extend that margin to 7.
Giannis races off. He's got Holiday ahead. Holiday catches the ball, lays it in as he does a little pirouette in the air. Giannis was a little late in delivering that to him, and it forced Holiday into a little bit of a harder spot, but to his credit, he finishes it.
7-point Bucks lead at halftime, and as we mentioned, no Tyrese Maxey in the second half. He would leave just before halftime, would not return, so you felt like you were in great position if you were the Bucks. Not so fast. That lead would disappear quickly in the third quarter.
Inbound pass to Tucker. He'll hand it off now to Embiid. Embiid left free throw line extended. He's going to pull up, gets a little help from Carter, but it doesn't matter. He just canned it. And Philly's got their first lead since early in this game, back at the first quarter, about 5 minutes in.
And 76ers would control most of that third quarter. Fast forwarding to the end, they would outscore the Bucks 34-22, but you can't help but wonder what might have been had things been called a little differently. We talked about this early in the show, but Giannis, on a fast break fouled by Joel Embiid, it was eventually ruled a flagrant one.
There's a turnover as it was taken away from Melton. It was the long arm of Lopez that started it. Giannis tries to sidestep the defense of Embiid, and he gets fouled. And now Giannis is doubled over. Looks like he's okay as he's walking back to the sideline, and they're going to look at this foul to see if it was anything more than a common foul. Let's see if we're about to get our ruling here from John Goble, to see perhaps if this was a flagrant or even a take foul situation.
Upon review, a flagrant foul penalty one has been assessed. The contact by Embiid is deemed to be unnecessary as there is impact and foul with the elbow to the midsection.
There you go.
Flagrant one, that was a flagrant two. There is no way that is not a flagrant two. Joel Embiid lowers the shoulder, extends his arm and elbow. It was a football move, a non-basketball move. If it's a flagrant two, Joel Embiid is ejected from the game, and then Philadelphia is playing without James Harden, Joel Embiid, and Tyrese Maxey. But nonetheless, a flagrant one, and the 76ers, still in front at the time, still have life because Joel Embiid is in the game. However, the two teams would continue to play hot potato with the lead, and our guy, Jordan Wara, helped the Bucks reclaim that mud.
A head fake from three, passes to the left side. Thibault was gambling for the steal, missed. Instead, they work it now to their near wing. Three-pointer from Jordan Wara as he makes him pay, knocking down the three, the first of the second half for the Bucks.
The lead was back for the Bucks, and he started to feel even better when the Bucks built on that lead. Maybe, just maybe, the three-point shot was back as well as Bobby Portis made it back-to-back triples.
Wara on the left baseline. Back out at top it comes to Portis. He lets it fly and sinks another three. Oh, they come in bunches with this group. It is remarkable how contagious the good and the bad is with the shooting for the Bucks.
But again, hot potato with the lead. It didn't last. Philadelphia taking an 89-84 lead into the fourth quarter. Bucks would have another run in them, though, and it would start with the defense. For the third time in this game, Joel Embiid challenged Brooke Lopez. And for the third time, advantage Brooke Lopez.
Philly manages to get across the full court pressure, but nearly lost it. Holiday tipped at it, but it goes right back to House. Now Embiid attacking on Lopez. Lopez blocked the shot. That is no easy feat against that man.
Third block of the night for Brooke, all three of them against Joel Embiid. And then moments later, deja vu all over again. It's Jordan Wara pushing the Bucks back in front.
Embiid isolated on Lopez, backs into Brooke, turns around. His shot blocked by Lopez. Loose ball picked up by Holiday.
Well, that's the fourth block for Brooke Lopez on Joel Embiid. Speaking of deja vu all over again. But as we mentioned, Jordan Wara's offense would spot the Bucks another lead.
Bucks are going to have to win this game with defense, it appears here tonight. After an offensive outburst to start, it has slowed in a big way. Holiday feeds out left side, now to Wara. Wara fires the three, and he drills it. Jordan Wara, another big bucket for the Bucks.
These two teams just continue to go back and forth with the lead for most of the fourth quarter. Philadelphia raced back in front 99-97. When Drew Holiday said, not so fast.
Holiday will go into the front court now on the other side. He's defended by Milton. Drifts to the right wing. Switches hands with a left-hand dribble. Knifes his way in the paint. Puts up a tough jump hook using the left hand over Embiid. He kisses it in. Off the window, we are tied again. 99 apiece.
But from that point forward, it was all Philadelphia.
Milton has it. He's defended by Allen around the Embiid screen. Spins as he passes it right back to Embiid. Embiid high on the pass, but Milton gathers it, sets the three, and knocks it down on a defensive breakdown for the Bucks.
And then it's Joel Embiid putting the game on ice.
Here's Milton at the top of the arc around the Embiid screen. Feeds back to Embiid. Embiid a head fake. Lopez staying with him doing the dance. Now he feeds underneath. Nobody accounted for Milton, and Milton takes the pass and lays it in up close. A 14-2 run for the Sixers, who have now taken their largest lead of the night. A 108-99 advantage.
It'll eventually be 110-102. The 76ers take this one in Philadelphia with no James Harden and no Tyrese Maxey for the final 24 minutes, handing the Bucks their fourth loss of the season. We will wrap up the show and preview the Thanksgiving week four-game homestand next on Bucks Talk. A tough one tonight for the Bucks, who fall to the 76ers, 110-102, and a disappointing loss, no doubt. We said it's the worst loss of the year. It's November, but this is disappointing. To lose to a Sixers team with no James Harden and no Tyrese Maxey for the second half, you got Drew Holiday back, you still had Giannis on the floor, but there's a couple of things to really look at here. You're not going to jump to any conclusions until this team is fully healthy. But as we mentioned, I think the last 10 days, 2 weeks, you've needed more from Bobby Portis. And it's hard to believe, but he has 10 double-doubles. That leads the NBA. That's not the hard-to-believe part. The fact that he's the league leader is hard to believe. But I think you've needed a little more offense from Bobby Portis, especially in the absence of Grayson Allen and Drew Holiday. But here's the other thing. He's the best player in the world. Giannis has had a rough stretch here. And tonight was no exception. He did score 25. And really, I mean, that is just a testament to how good he is that we're saying, man, Giannis, something's looked off. He hasn't been the same guy. And he's still doing what he's doing statistically. But this season, 62% at the free throw line. The mid-range jumper and everything away from the rim has just not been there to the level that we've seen, especially in the playoffs. He was a 72% free throw shooter last year. 62 right now. He's 68% the year they won the title. 63% the year prior to that, but you look back before that, 73, 76, 77, 72, 74. It was the 1920 and the 2021 seasons where it just looked broken, and it's back to looking like that this year. Still getting to the line almost 13 times a game, but he's shooting 62%. And he's averaging nearly 30 points a game, but we've talked about it doesn't seem like he's got the offense there. His effective field goal percentage is down to 52%. It's been near 60 the last couple of years. He's shooting 51% from the field. I think a lot of it is what we've touched on. He needs his help, and hopefully that's going to come next week with Pat Connaughton, maybe Chris Middleton as well. Monday night, Bucks host the Portland Trailblazers. 7 o'clock tip, 6:30 is when the coverage begins on the radio network. And as always, join us after the game for Bucks Talk on these stations. My thanks to Isaac Marquardt and Chris Larson for producing the show tonight. We will talk to you Monday night with more Bucks Talk.